Hey, yo, wake up. Bro, wake up.
Hey, man.
What the? Who are you?
Dreams. We all have them whether you remember them or not. And at one point in our lives, we've all dreamt about the same shit, bro. Like your teeth falling out or running through your school butt booty naked or being reincarnated as a chicken laying eggs. But when you really step back and think about what sleeping is, it's mad weird, bro. Like imagine an alien crash landed on Earth and saw a bunch of motherfuckers sleeping, like...
Why is everyone dead?
Oh, no, they're not dead, they're just sleeping.
Man, what the fuck is sleeping?
Yeah, so basically they just play dead for 8 hours and live false realities in their heads and shit.
Strange.
Yeah, like you see this guy, he's probably dreaming about sunshine and rainbows. Get down! You see this dude? He's having a nightmare for sure.
Oh, and this dude? Yo, this dude's definitely fucking, bro. I'm a
damn, that's crazy.
Now, we all know there's only 3 questions in life that have yet to be answered. What's the meaning of life? What's Obama's last name? And why do we dream? Dude, it's all your subconscious talking to you, man. You just gotta find the true meaning of each dream, dude.
Bro, what the actual fuck could this possibly mean, bruh?
You're autistic.
Anyways, the craziest part about dreams is the fact you're the one telling the story, and you're the one listening to that shit. My dumbass still falls for the plot twist every time, bruh. I'll never forget this one dream I had back in grade 6, where me and my 2 homies were walking. Don't know where, don't know why, but as we're walking, a dude in a big white van pulls up talking about,
"Hey, if you kids come in my van, I'll give you some candy."
Shit. I mean, I'd come in your mouth for the whole bang. So obviously, we hop in, and the driver looks absolutely cracked out, talking about,
"Hey kids, eat this candy."
And so we unwrap this piece of candy, and it's literally just a razor blade, bro. Like, he didn't even try and hide that shit.
Nah, I think I'll have to pass on this one.
Then eat this piece of candy.
This is a perk 30. You got any Reese's cups?
I got Reese's cups. Here.
Sir, this is just a Glock covered in peanut butter.
Alright, fine, take this.
Shit, okay.
So we eat this unsuspicious looking candy and instantly start tripping balls, bruh. Like the van is deforming, we're seeing rainbows and shit, and worst of all, we see this big ass grin on the driver's face. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said some crazy shit like,
"Get ready, I'm coming for them cheeks."
It was more like
"Looks like your private square just went public."
Okay, no, that wasn't it either. It was something more like a,
"You boys ever had your buns stuffed like a meat mountain from Arby's?"
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but all I know is if we didn't act fast, we were getting our cheeks snatched up, bro. So Billy's like, "Yo, quick, call your dad." So I'm rushing to start calling my dad, and this is the most dream logic shit ever, cause I don't even got a dad, bruh. And this is where my own brain hit me with the meanest plot twist I never saw coming. Cause as I'm calling my dad, the driver's phone starts ringing, bruh.
Bomba Club.
Now I don't remember the rest, but the fact my own brain hit me with some Star Wars Darth Vader type plot twist, god damn, bruh, that shit was a movie. But still, I probably got my shit touched, so I'm gonna have to leave this as a B-tier dream, bro. B-tier? What the fuck could possibly be worse than a crackhead tickling your pickle, bro? Now those motherfuckers could be their own torture method, bro. These are dreams that just have you stuck in an infinite time loop doing the same shit over and over and over and over in C-tier, bro. Now, lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are deadass just playing life on creative mode, bro. Cause in my long life, I've only had 3 lucid dreams, and every single one of them was lit as fuck, bruh. Now the problem is I can only start lucid dreaming when my original dream is just a little too strange. Like, "Hey, you're cute. Can I get your number?"
"What? You want my number?"
"Yeah."
Yo, I must be lucid dreaming.
Ow, what the fuck? Shit, it's so real, bro. I could do anything. I can probably fucking fly.
Alright, Chains, this is not a dream. You're under arrest for battery and assault.
But for real, my first lucid dream started when I was posted up in a basement with Michael Jackson.
Yo, aren't you supposed to be, like, dead and shit?
Oh shit, I must be dreaming. And so to test the waters, I start spawning in random shit on the spot, and this is the moment I realized the possibilities were endless, bruh. I could do whatever I wanted, and so I spawned in a honey pack, and I spawned in Lola Bunny, and I- S-tier. Lucid dreams are S-tier, bruh. Wet dreams are too. Now, we got a few popular reoccurring dreams on our hands, like running through your school butt booty naked. Now, back in the day, this dream used to have me scared shitless, bro. I was like, oh shit, where's my pants? Yo, what's my crush gonna think? What are the boys gonna say? But ever since graduating high school, that dream has me scared even more shitless, bro, cause now it's like, oh shit, yo, what's the police gonna think?
Let's find your back!
Bro, what's the judge gonna say, bro?
Shut the fuck up!
Fucking C tier. Teeth falling out, B tier. Random adventures with your homies, A tier, bro. Bebop and Billy have fought bears together, we've been to the nether, we've even fucked around and ran a three man on the Totally Spies cast. Like, these dreams are so lit that when I wake up in my raggedy old lonely ass bed, I'd be trying to go back to sleep to continue the plot, bruh.
Look who came back for that Meat Mountain, boy.
Oh, hell no.
You better run.
Bruh, I'm trying. Now, trying to run in your dreams. Man, this shit really pisses me off, bro. Because I never told anybody this, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So when I'm dreaming and I got two hordes of zombies, Michael Myers, and fucking Diddy himself chasing after me, tell me why my ass starts running like the fastest kid in the special needs class, bruh. So trying to run in your dreams has got to be C tier, right next to all the common shit like falling, drowning, losing your phone, explosive diarrhea all over your bed. Damn, bruv, shitting your pants, fever dreams, and being butt booty naked around a bunch of minors is C tier. What the hell is D tier, bruv?
Sleep paralysis.
This might be the scariest thing that can possibly exist, bruh. You're telling me at 4 a.m. I could open my eyes, unable to move, while struggling to breathe, and start seeing demon shadow figures while hearing screams in the distance, bruh. Fucking Z tier, bro, what the fuck? Now I'm grateful I never had to experience that shit, cause the fact that while you're paralyzed, you'll start to see the scariest thing your brain could possibly imagine is beyond me, bro. Knowing me, I'd be there enjoying my beauty sleep, dreaming of me and the boys playing fucking Mario Kart or some shit, and I would open my eyes stunned, unable to move, when slowly a devious creature begins revealing itself out of the closet, casting a shadow over top of me until I can see exactly what it is.
Looks like someone ordered a meat mountain!
So a few years ago, I worked at a fast food restaurant. We'll just call it Jim Jordan's, you know what I'm saying? Jim Jordan's was my first job ever. So coming in on my first day, I was kind of excited, you know, because it was just overall a new experience, so I was looking forward to it. So I walked through the doors and, you know, it's looking like a nice establishment so far. But as soon as you step past the staff gate, you realize it's instantly a hellhole. Like, this is exactly what it was like.
Hi there, can I take the order?
Yo, who's
medium the double double.
Hi, what's your order? Yo, hello. It's my first day.
Hi there, can I take your order?
And bro, once they give you the Jim Jordan's drip, you instantly lose value as a human, bro. For example, if you're going for a casual stroll down the street, an average interaction would look something like this. Hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Good. You know, just average small talk things. But once you throw on that Jim Jordan's drip, hey, what can I get for medium black coffee? Make my coffee faster, bitch. And while I was working here, it was just the beginning of the pandemic. Meaning, on top of the gym drip, you also had to wear a mask. So pretty much people could just see your eyes. And trying to communicate during the pandemic was horrible. Because not only did both parties have to wear a mask, there was this big plastic wall between us. And they had to stand 6 feet away. Hi, what can I get for you?
What?
I said, hi, what-
Huh?
Ma'am, what can I get for you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Oh my god, bro.
In man, I already made a video on NPCs, but working in any sort of drive-thru, you'll figure out that drive-thrus are NPCs' prime real estate. It's just like back-to-back-to-back NPCs. And when you don't have your average NPC, you'll have a below-average IQ NPC. Like, there was this one lady that would come through every day, and all my coworkers knew her as the coupon lady. Because every day she would try and use coupons, but somehow never understand how they work. Alright, your total is 1567.
Okay, I'm gonna use a coupon.
Alright.
What are you waiting for?
The coupon?
Oh, it's just at my house.
And don't get me started on my manager, Magnus, bro. Next time I see Magnus, it's on site.
Wait a minute, James, is that you?
The longer I worked there, Magnus just started getting a little bit too comfortable on booking my shifts. After about 10 months of working there, she just decided to give me 5 a.m. shifts every time. And that wasn't even in my availability. So, you know, I would send a polite and professional email, and she would just hit me with some shit like, okay. Then just continue to book me at 5 a.m, bro. So I ended up working there for about a year and a half. And like most people at minimum wage jobs, when you're there for long enough, you just start to care a lot less about getting fired. I mean, I was snatching donuts, whipping myself up some food whenever no one was looking, and hooking up all my homies with free everything. And eventually, I just got tired of waking up at 4:30 every shift, so I put in my 2 weeks. And during these last 2 weeks, I did not give a fudge cake, bro. I was out here setting up coffee cups and playing basketball with the gym bits. And if someone was kinda polite to me, I would just hook them up with a free donut. And I remember on my last day, I was working a night shift, and it was just about 15 minutes before I got off forever. And some dudes rolled up in the drive-thru baked as hell. Hey dude, can you check how much is on this gift card really quick? Yeah, you got 21 cents on it. What can we get for 21 cents? One sec. I just went to the back and cleared the shelves of every single donut in sight, and I just sauced them all for free. Yo, thank you so much, dude. You're the GOAT.
Can't believe this cost 20.
So yeah, that was my experience working fast food, and it's definitely not fun, but I feel like it's a valuable experience. Because now that I know I hate working there so much, I'm gonna work hard enough so you will never catch me working in fast food ever again, bro.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
Oh my god.
Yeah,
let's go.
For my New Year's resolution, I'm gonna go on a diet.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm gonna quit vaping.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go vegan.
Oh, nice.
And I'm gonna stop beating my meat.
Oh.
3 days later.
Man, fuck the diet.
Right? I didn't even want to go vegan anyways.
Wait, guys. Where's Jonathan?
Alright, I'm gonna keep it a stack. This New Year's resolution thing is a whole lot of bullshit. Some goddamn buffoonery. A heaping pile of a fucking horse cut. Like, don't get me started on these New Year, New Me motherfuckers, man. Like, dyeing your hair and getting another piercing doesn't change shit. Now you're just broke, depressed, and lonely in a different font. And I'm not gonna pretend like I don't see you motherfuckers in the gym for the first 2 weeks. Like, come on now. You and I both know as soon as you get out of this gym, you're about to pick up a large strawberry milkshake, a Big Mac with no pickles, and a side of chicken nuggets, and it's disgusting. But Chains, how do you know down to the exact specifications of the order?
'Cause shit, I'm about to get the same damn thing.
Because the devastating truth is, a new year doesn't change jack shit. And if you're watching this in 2022, I'm really not trying to kill the hopes and dreams of 2023, but let's be honest, if you really wanted to be jacked, you would start working out, bro. Like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the earth orbiting the sun one more time isn't gonna get you any bitches, bro. 'Cause trust me, I would know. Now, as a stick man like myself, I can't fuck with New Year's resolutions because it's always the same shit. Like,
3, 2, 1, Happy New Year's!
Oh, hey, man. Happy New Year's. Well, what's your New Year's resolution? Oh, it's 1080p. What about you? Oh, yeah, same, same. But did you see Ethan, bro? Nah, what's his? Yo, he's got 4K. Yo, what's up, dudes? Oh, look at the quality on this guy. Damn, wait, do you hear that noise? Yeah, what is that? Oh, shit, it's Chains. He got 480p again. Shit.
Oh, fuck. Why is it 480p again? God
damn. That whole New Year's resolution bit was unfunny as fuck. Like, corny as shit. Well, speaking of corny jokes, New Year seems like the time when motherfuckers feel like it's okay to start whipping out the most overused and unfunniest jokes of all time. Oh, hey, Chains, watch this.
One. Happy New Year.
Hey, Chains, I haven't seen you since last year. So you know how it's gonna be 2020 soon, right?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, I got 2020 vision. Now, I know it sounds like I'm on some bahumbug shit, but New Year's does have a lot of great things about it. Like the parties, the fireworks, the parties. And so you may be thinking, Chains, why are you like the Grinch of New Year's resolutions? Why do you hate New Year's resolutions so much? Well, the truth is, my hatred for New Year's resolutions dates way, way, way back to 2016. It was December 31st. New Year's Eve, 11:59 p.m. This was the very day when a young hopeful Chains decided my New Year's resolution would be to acquire a girlfriend. I tried and I tried, but as 2022 comes to an end, my girlfriend remains unacquired.
Oh, fuck. Why?
As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
Yabba-dabba-doo, the world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy.
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro.
I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you, like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept
out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame them, cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time, cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop, then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus. Cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street. All because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass. You know what they say, there's a first for everything, bro. Like your first steps, your first dance moves, your first words. Dada!
Hey, would you look at that? We gotta get some milk. I'll be right back.
Your first stepdad? New dada?
Yeah, nah. I'm ahead of two, actually.
And your first kiss. Man, the things I would do to go back and completely erase that shit from existence. Bro, all these Disney movies I was seeing as a kid had these first kisses turning ugly-ass frogs into some fucking Giga Chat. And shit, like, spoiler alert, fucking ribbon. On top of that, the fact you have to close your eyes, like, bro, imagine you're learning how to golf and you're about to take your first swing and these motherfuckers are like,
yeah, now do it with your eyes closed.
Bruh, this is my first time. What do you expect to happen? Like, honestly, my first kiss is top 5 worst chains moments of all time, and let's just say it's not 5 or 4 Or 3. That shit was really bad, bro. So with that being said, this story takes place in grade 7, which is the year I got my first girlfriend. Now, I told this story a few months back, but I purposely left out the part of my first kiss. Well, gosh, diddly darn, Chains. Why would you do such a preposterous thing? And the truth is, I was planning on taking this shit to the grave with me, bro, but fuck it. Sometimes you just gotta let the world know.
Okay, you're right. I got something to get off my chest.
Epstein? Wait, what the? So for the homies who haven't seen the video, one day me, Bob, and Billy were mobbing around our local mall when we seen these 3 girls from our class. So we walk up to them and lay down some of the meanest 12-year-old riz these girls had ever seen. Hey, yo, Shorty, I think I just shit my pants. Can I get into yours?
What the fuck?
Oh, shit. My bad. My fault. Hey, yo, Shorty, are you a cigarette?
Am I a cigarette? What?
Cause I'm trying to get lit and put your butt in my mouth.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Please.
Holy shit, bro. Let me guess. You all got restraining orders.
No.
Worse. We got fucking girlfriends. And 12-year-old me had no business dating nobody, bruh. Like, my dumbass could barely even handle playing Fortnite with a girl. Like, oh, hey, GamerGirl97.
Hey.
I'm kind of low. Can I chug on your jugs?
What?
Oh, no, sorry. Whoa, I mean, I just want to slurp on your juice. No, I'm sorry.
Ew.
I mean, like, I need heels. Can I trade you? What do you need?
Oh, yeah. Is there any way you could give me some mats?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd love to give you my wood.
Huh?
Or bricks. Or metal. Or anything you need,
okay.
Anything else?
Yeah, I don't have a shotgun yet.
Oh, shit, I got 3.
Okay.
I can give you 2 pumps.
Ew.
Or no, it's 1 pump.
No,
wait. Oh, sorry, I can give you shotguns, I mean.
Okay.
Where are you?
I'm in this little wood fort I made.
Oh, okay, I see you. Let me come in your box.
What?
So needless to say, every single interaction I had with my girlfriend was awkward as shit. Because I had to pre-plan things to say in my head, and as soon as that shit went off script, I was cooked.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
Honestly, just not the best.
Oh, that's good. What'd you do today?
Oh, I don't know. Just did my makeup.
Hey, me too.
You did your makeup?
Yeah, we have so much in common. Have a nice day.
Fuck!
And on one Friday after school, me, Bob, Billy, and our girlfriends all went to the mall together, as we did every single day. But on this specific Friday, we rubbed together a few brain cells and realized, yo, do you got money?
Nah.
You got money?
Zero.
You got money?
I'm broke.
You got money?
No.
You got money?
Yo. Why are we at the mall?
I don't know.
That's a good thought about it.
I mean, we could all go to my house.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
And so, of course, as the good kid I was, I text my mom to ask her to go.
Greetings, mother. I would like to know if it's in the realm of possibility that you'd be so kind to grant me your permission to visit the household of my dearest acquaintance, Nikki. Looking forward to hearing from you. Your favorite son, Chains.
And I immediately get a call.
Let me speak to her parents.
Now, I, Chains for real, have never dated a 12-year-old boy in my life, and I honestly don't plan on it. But even in grade 7, I could use my logic and reasoning skills to understand if your boyfriend had to get his mom to talk to your friend's mom for permission to slide to the crib. Instant ick, bro. There's just no way. She'd probably break up with me on the spot. So I'm doing anything I can to not let that happen.
Hey there, Miss For Real. This is Nikki's mom. I just wanted to let you know Chains and his friends are welcome over anytime because they're... because they're goated with the sauce. Shit.
Oh, hey, Nikki's mom. Sorry, it's kind of hard to hear you over all this bullshit. You're not allowed at her house. Come home now.
Chains, are you coming?
Look, Mom, I'm not gonna lie. You gotta lock the fuck in right now. This is the first time in my life I ever been invited to a girl's house and there's cheeks up for grabs. Like, Mom, this is my only opportunity. If you don't let me go, the For Real bloodline might just end with me.
Okay, listen, Chains. I'll let you go this time, but you have to be home at 9 p.m. sharp.
Yay, thank you so much, Mom.
Now, I'm paraphrasing, but the point is she let me go with a curfew of 9 p.m. So all six of us leave the mall, hop on the bus, and get off at Nikki's house. We go inside, sit on the couch, and now... it's even more awkward, bro, because instead of walking around the mall, all we had to entertain ourselves was ourselves. And just like any other awkward middle school scenario, that shit went like...
Truth or dare?
Yeah,
that's exactly
down.
What I was thinking.
And my heart instantly dropped, bro. Cause I knew if I picked dare, I would have to kiss Jessica and shit, bro. That's a whole lot scarier than playing Fortnite with GamerGirl97.
But regardless, Nikki starts the game of truth or dare.
Hey Billy, truth or dare?
Yo, truth.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, what? This shit's not even bad.
Okay, then Chains, truth or dare?
Truth.
No. What do you mean, no? It's truth or dare.
I said truth or dare.
Dare.
What the fuck? Okay, fine, dare. You have to kiss Jessica.
Bro, this time it wasn't a pickup line when I say I just shit my pants. I mean, not literally, but metaphorically, I was shitting bricks, bro. And when I turned to Jessica, she's just sitting there straight-faced as fuck.
So, Jessica, are you down? like hypothetically speaking, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going in. Sorry. Let me just,
Hey, bro, I'm not gonna lie, this is fucking weird. You guys are just watching and shit, like, I don't know, it's just kinda...
Oh, so if we weren't watching, you'd do it?
I mean, yeah, I would actually. Wait, what the fuck? Every single one of these motherfuckers ran to the corner and started staring at the wall, like,
did you do it yet?
We're not looking till you do it.
Yo, hurry up, dumbass.
So now I got all this pressure on me to do this shit, but Jessica's out here looking at me like... hey, how was your day?
Yo, shut the fuck
just
up.
Just kiss her already.
What are you yapping about?
And I deadass didn't know how to go about it. I ended up sitting on this couch nervous as hell, awkward as hell, looking stupid as fuck for 20 minutes, bruh.
Now, 20 minutes in general doesn't sound that long, but imagine sitting on a couch in complete silence with everyone just... Bro, just watch this.
My brother in Christ. That was 10 seconds, bruh. Imagine doing that times 120. So after the second longest 20 minutes of my life, I say, you know what? Fuck it. And Nikki's mom walks in the room.
Hey, who wants snacks? Oh. And at this point, I checked my shitty-ass Samsung Galaxy 3, and it was already 8:50 p.m. And with a curfew at 9, I had no choice but to log in. So I lick my lips, close my eyes, and real quick, I smash our mouths together. And when I turn around, not a single motherfucker is facing the wall. I look the other way, and Nikki's mom is peeking around the corner with her fucking mac and cheese and shit. So I made like my pops, and I was out that hoe. Pleasure doing business, Jessica.
Wait, what? Where are you going?
Thanks for having me, Nikki's mom.
What the hell was that?
And I proceeded to sprint home, making it home at 8:59. Exactly 1 minute before my curfew. And that night when I went to bed, I couldn't sleep, bro. I haven't been able to sleep since. Damn, I should have taken this shit to the grave with me. Fuck. Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear. Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there. And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype, nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't wanna fuck around, and I sure as hell don't wanna find out. But everyone knows, drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected, and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were lanterned. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party. Bet, let me check where they're at. Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat. Shit, we might have to, bro. And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way. But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission. And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy. And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3-man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door, and Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean, literally, she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed, and I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn.
Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup.
What the fuck? And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking,
And just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like,
oh shit, my parents are home, hide.
So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad. And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the, we exited the closet and Chloe said,
you guys gotta sneak out through the front door. Just be super quiet.
And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing really, just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad.
Yo, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary.
And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiesty'd up.
What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago?
Nah, I'm just Homer.
Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask.
Oh, yeah, no. I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school.
Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What? Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no.
And just as we become guilty by association, four cop cars come zooming down the street.
Oh shit, it's the cops, run!
And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole, and how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cops' flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good two steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck. So I run through this waist-high muddy water, and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl.
Yo, where the fuck is Billy?
No, where's my girlfriend, bro?
Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Wait, shut up. Billy's calling. Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field, the cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught.
Listen, bro, I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario.
So I go back in to save Billy, and my main man, Bob, comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops, but they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight, and both cops look at him.
He's right there!
Get over here!
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street, and we ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, so Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail, and more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating.
Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now.
I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy.
Greening out is the worst thing you can get hit with when smoking. And coming from a greening out connoisseur, I can tell you there are many different things you'll experience when ODing on that Zaza. I mean, greening out can range anywhere from a zooted panic attack all the way to seeing yourself in third person, and of course, if you go way too far, GURPing may occur. But let's start it off on a light note. When greening out, you may convince yourself you're about to fucking die. Now I know that might sound very bad, but trust me, it's even worse than you would think. Like, this is the type of greenout that will have you fallen to your knees in a Wendy's bathroom. The type of greenout that will have you repenting your sins. And the type of greenout that will have your life flashing before your eyes. Now, after a careful examination, I have determined this greenout is caused by combining an excessive amount of Mary Jane with negative thoughts. This circumstance causes a chemical reaction in the brain scientifically known as getting so zooted you convince your dumbass you're about to die. Syndrome. And I'm just gonna summarize the experience so you never have to experience it. So you take too many chops out of the... Because let's be real, it's always the chops. Then you begin to realize you got way too high. Everything starts lagging and you're on about 5 FPS. So you convince yourself that your time is up. And so you just lie there waiting for your impending doom that never actually happens. Another thing you may experience after cheaping too much keef is something I like to call a factory reset. Now I don't know the science behind this one, but for whatever reason, after smoking too much grass, that shit just starts hacking your brain and it hits you with that factory reset. I mean, all your past experiences, lessons, and most cherished memories straight deleted. You forget your name, your address, the ability to stand up. Now this is usually the point you'll get hit with that kush coma. And if you aren't familiar with the term kush coma, it's when the kush puts you in a coma. Now for me at least, the one time I was put in a kush coma, I didn't have a normal dream. No, I was put into a dream so realistic where I was just some middle-aged dude working a 9-to-5 with a wife and kids. But this dream did not last a normal dream length. It deadass felt like I lived this middle-aged motherfucker's life for a month. And when I woke up, I didn't know what was real. Now, I need to say this third experience will undoubtedly kill a sizable amount of brain cells. So with that being said, when you whiz way too much Khalifa, that shit is an out-of-body experience. Like, you'll be chilling, walking around, then all of a sudden that shit hits, and you're seeing yourself in third person. Yo, what the fuck? Now, I've tried to do a scientific analysis on this shit, but to be quite frank, that shit literally makes no sense. Like, who the fuck put the camera up there for you to be able to see yourself in third person? Okay, but anyway, it doesn't stop there. This change in your POV leads to an existential crisis. And through this existential crisis, you find the answer to life. However, when you go to communicate your new groundbreaking findings to the homies, it just sounds like this.
Bob.
Oh shit, he's alive.
Bob. The stars. The trees. Us. Our family. We are life.
Billy? I think Chains is greening. And let me tell you, greening out and lying face down on the floor go hand in hand. Like, you've never truly experienced greening out if you weren't looking like Neymar in the World Cup on some hardwood floor. Speaking of lying on the floor, this next level of greening out will have you becoming one with the floor. And I like to call it The hyperbolic time chamber. Now, if you go Super Saiyan on that gas, it will hit you harder than Chris Breezy sending your high ass into the hyperbolic time chamber. 1 hour in the hyperbolic time chamber is equivalent to 1 minute in the outside world. This shit will have you feeling like you've been laying on the ground for 7 days straight. And your thoughts just get stuck in this endless loop like, damn, I need some cereal right now. Wait, I've been lying on this floor for forever, bruh. I'm gonna fucking die in this infinite loop. Wait, loop? Loop like Cheerios? Damn, I need some cereal right now. It's essentially like a fever dream in real life, but even longer. Okay, but for this last level of greening out, I need to say, please do not get this zooted. Because if you do, you will probably notice a sizable drop in your IQ, and you may even get brain damage.
brain that fuck. So with that being said, if you do more chops than Bruce Lee, you will experience a pain I would not wish on my worst enemy. A pain worse than stubbing your toe, worse than hitting your funny bone, and even worse than finding out your girl has your homie's Wi-Fi password. And this is the pain I call ODing on the devil's lettuce. Now, ODing on the devil's lettuce is pretty much all of the above combined into one horrible, agonizing pain. Not only do you think you're gonna die, but you forget your name, eat shit on hardwood floor, see in third person, and on top of all of that, time is in slow motion. And with all this going on, you're pretty much on 1 HP and your body is fighting to survive. And this is the point where you start throwing up and you are stuck in this infinite loop of death for what seems like an eternity. So don't green out, it's bad.
Man, family functions have the weirdest dynamic, bro. Like, how have you known these people your entire life, but have still never gone past a surface level conversation? I mean, let me know if it's just my family, but every function is the same. The whole gang links up, and everyone just asks the most generic small talk questions to each other. Hey, how's that new place you bought? Oh yeah, you know, it's good. And how's the kids doing? Oh, you know, they're good. Oh, and how's the wife? Man, fuck your wife. I don't want to hear any of these NPC conversations, bro. And let me know if I'm getting too specific here, but what about that one uncle who goes by the name of either Bob, Jerry, or Dave? And this dude will just always be saying the most out-of-pocket things imaginable. Oh, how's your daughter Jane doing? Oh, Jane's always been hot, eh?
Bob, she's 15!
This uncle be at the family function thinking it's Coachella or something.
Bob, another beer's a little bit excessive, don't you think?
Yeah, football!
I'm the youngest person in my whole family, which for whatever unspoken reason, it just means everyone has the go-ahead to flame the living shit out of me. Hey, Chain, still no girlfriend, huh? I guess you're not too good with the ladies there. But I make one joke back and I'm the bad guy. You don't seem too good with the ladies yourself, seeing as your wife just divorced you and she took the kids with her. Am I right? Not only do they feel free to roast your whole existence simply because you were born last, they unanimously decide you will be everyone's personal butler. Hey bud, go get another beer for me. Alright, yeah, for sure. Thanks. Now you better get started on mowing that lawn. Grass isn't gonna cut itself, am I right?
Oh my god, bro.
And coming into these family functions, you would think your mom is your closest ally. But as soon as she gets the chance, she will expose your biggest secret for a little bit of parent clout. You guys will never guess what I found under Chain's bed yesterday.
Oh my god, what is it?
Yeah, tell
what?
Us.
What? No way.
Sometimes when my family tries to make small talk with me, they just miss the boat completely. So, buddy, how's those swimming lessons going for you? The swimming lessons I took when I was 5? Yeah, right, those ones. They're good. I finished them a little while ago. Oh, is that right? Good for you, buddy. And bro, don't get me started on those recycled ass jokes. Well, looks like you got your workout for the day.
Oh, looks like you've gotten so tall. What are you feeding this kid, am I right? Oh, Bob, I think you got some food in your beard.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for later.
Ah, good one, Bill.
Oh, Bob, he's so funny.
Thank you.
I guess everyone at the function must have Alzheimer's or something. Because these jokes will have them cracking up like they haven't heard the same joke the past 15 functions. But cousins, man. Cousins are the saving grace of family functions. Without cousins, you would have no choice but to participate in the tomfoolery of small talk. I'd be walking in the function just praying to see that one cousin. And bro, I have a family function survival tip for you. You always have to stay within arm's reach of either your siblings or your cousins. Cause whenever some bullshit goes down, you just give each other the look and flee the scene. And because when you get caught lacking on your own at the function, you get jumped.
Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time. Which perfectly describes your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real. No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high. Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Yeah. Do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah. And let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have? I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out. Now I really don't have many fears, but there are 4 things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing,
and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than 5 people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. hi guys, my name is Chain.
Get off the stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, like they're only 4 years old. No, like I'm not attracted to-
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Sorry. Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, it changed. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's alright.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me, I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech, it was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat, I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? Uh-oh, shit, I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there...
Chains, get up here. And don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen. Okay? I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking. Mm. You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal. You'll get crunched. I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch.
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like curry from the 3. I'm talking all A's, no B's. Bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. Hunt is like the seas. I'm too icy. I might freeze because I'm him. I'm not talking / he.
God damn.
Spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on... Don't get on here rapping. Don't get on here stacking. I mean rapping. Stacking. I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. you could call that fashion. Thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
So, there are 7 stages of being drunk, all of which I've experienced, so you don't have to.
Drinking? Aren't you underage?
No, I'm 21. Now let's start with stage 1, the process. Stage 1 is one of the most important stages of being drunk. If you've ever heard the saying, trust the process, this fully applies when it comes to drinking. If you don't approach this stage with precision, calculation, and patience, you might accidentally skip straight to stage 7. And trust me, you don't want to skip straight to stage 7. The process is pretty much where you've started drinking, but you don't really feel anything yet. Because when you drink alcohol, it takes time for it to be absorbed into the bloodstream. And some people just don't have the patience to wait and end up overestimating their limit.
Oh, I feel fine. Let me take another shot.
Stage 2 is tipsy. Tipsy is where you first start to feel it. It's when the first few shots start to hit and you start to feel a little bit more outgoing and maybe more talkative. At this point, you'll still have your judgment, but I feel like you become a little bit more of a glasses half full kind of person. Walking in a straight line is still easy. Boom, light work. Once the next few shots start to roll in, you'll hit stage 3. Intoxicated. Once you're intoxicated, some of the dizziness starts to set in. You also start to think less about the words you say. And I'm not gonna lie, at this point, I feel like your confidence peaks. Like when you're at a party and you look in the mirror and see Michael B. Jordan, you know you're at the level of intoxication, bro. And to be honest, for parties, I like to chill at this stage because you've got your confidence, but you still haven't lost your riz. And for reference, at this point, you can still walk in a straight line, but it takes a little bit more focus and effort. Which brings me to stage 4. Hammered. This is where you start slurring your words. And bro, at this point, walking in a straight line becomes an impossible task. Yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick?
Yes. No.
When you're hammered, you start thinking a lot less. You start saying things before you can even think them. And it's important to say, when you're hammered, your judgment cannot be trusted. All ideas become good ideas. Yo, dude, what if we set an orphanage on fire? Bro, that's genius. That's what I'm saying.
What are you guys doing?
Nothing. I don't think that was a good idea, bro. Facts. Stage 5 is stupefied. At this stage, you'll have the brain power of a toaster. And honestly, walking in a straight line isn't even a question anymore. Yo, dude, can you walk this... Once you're stupefied, you're just too far gone. You feel like your head is just spinning over and over. Now, at this stage, I would recommend leaving whatever party or setting you're at because you can't function properly. You'll probably end up regretting some of the shit you say or do the next morning. Now, stage 6. Wasted. When you get wasted, it's just regret. Your body is literally fighting for survival. Everything is miserable, and you always promise yourself you'll never get to this stage again. But one way or another, it always comes back. Whenever you're at a party, there's always one person who's wasted, and they're hunched over at the toilet just vomiting, bro. And it just ruins the night completely, so this might be obvious, but I do not recommend getting wasted. Now, to get to stage 7, you have to do one of 3 things. First off, you could have not trusted the process at stage 1 and heavily overestimated your limit. Or, you could have been hammered and your judgment was tainted, so you had the idea to take more shots. Remember, all ideas become good ideas. And lastly, you could be going through a serious divorce. And in this case, I'm sorry. I hope she comes back. But stage 7 is blacked out. When you are blacked out, you've lost your consciousness. You're pretty much just slumped out. But your dreams when you're blackout drunk are always the most random and vivid shit, bro. And once you wake up, yo, dude, can you walk this line really quick? So, I think it's safe to say that I would strongly not recommend going past stage 4. But I'm not gonna lie, I have a few times, and I got lots of crazy stories from them too. So let me know in the comments if you want to hear any of these stories. But yeah, I think I should end the video by saying, please drink responsibly. Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is baked. at this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much just become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2, faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase, the dry mouth gets drier, and your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, you know, they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the, like, moisture out of your mouth, and then you're left, like, with your mouth just dry as fuck, and you're kind of just sitting there, like... And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, this is just my experience. Now with that being said, stage 3.
Schlumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now after that shit, you're probably going to feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Yo, when you think about it, every light switch is also a dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Light switch, dark switch. Okay, class, sound it out with me.
Ba-aw. Ball.
When you really think about it, we learn to read, and then we read to learn.
Teacher, yeah, I think change is high.
What the fuck? This is kindergarten. Damn. Any staircase can be a staircase to heaven if you're not careful enough.
Baby, I've spent the best 4 years of my life with you, and I can't imagine my life without you. You're a one in a million, so will you marry me?
So one in a million, huh? That means there's 8,017 people just like you. How does that make you feel?
Yo, if you cut your leg off, would it hurt?
Of course it's gonna hurt, bro. What's?
Think about it. Where would it hurt?
Your leg. Oh, cause you cut your leg off.
Yo, what happens if you push down the gas and the brakes at the same time?
Shit, let's find out.
Oh shit, it takes a screenshot.
Damn, my eyes are dry as shit. Just close them for a minute.
Damn, bro. You never actually close your eyes. You just look at the inside of your eyelids.
Damn.
Can anyone answer 547 to the power of 3? Yes, Chains.
Yo, did you know every single odd number has an E in it?
Damn. No. Chains, are you high again?
No. Wait a minute, bruh. Since you were born deaf, what language do you think in?
Oh shit, you right.
Damn, I just realized squirrels' cheeks are also their nut sacks. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like your mom.
What?
The way she had these nuts all up in her mouth.
Bro, if everyone in the world all blinked at the same time,
nobody would know. Oh shit, that's facts.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Oh, I just blinked. Did you?
Nah.
Wait, what about just now?
Yo, which of these buildings do you think has the most stories?
Oh, it's gotta be that one, bro. That's massive.
Nah, this one's even taller.
Oh, it's this one for sure.
No, it's this one.
No, that's the library. Tiny.
Think about it.
Oh, story.
How are you supposed to get clothes?
What are you talking about, bruh?
Okay, imagine you had no clothes, right? How are you supposed to get some clothes?
You go to the store and purchase that shit.
Bro, they're not about to let you buy some clothes while your meat's hanging out.
Nah, you just cop some clothes real fast. It's simple.
Bruh, a young kid walks by and it's wrapped.
So you guys both have the power to read minds?
Yep,
yes,
that's
sir.
Right. Then if you both read each other's minds, whose mind are you reading?
Oh, I don't know. We could try.
All right, yeah, sure.
Nah,
hey, that
yo,
was not
yo,
me.
That was you for sure, dude.
Damn, bro. When you think about it, the hospital is the only building you leave without entering.
Damn.
And people are having the worst day of their life, the best day of their life, the last day of their life, and the first day of their life, all in one building.
Damn.
Bro, I'm kind of scared down here.
What? Why?
Because I'm scared a shark's finna eat my ass.
Well, when you think about it, there's more people eating sharks in the world than sharks eating people.
Damn. That's actually really crazy to think about.
Fuck, yo, every single day, there's some random motherfucker out there who took the biggest shit for that day.
Yeah, he's in this room.
Bro, it's literally just you and me in the room.
Yo, this Taco Bell is bussing.
So he incorrectly assumed his position.
You spelled that incorrectly.
But spelled what incorrectly?
Incorrectly.
Yeah, but what's incorrect?
Incorrectly.
Wait, what?
Wait, guys. When you really think about it, the only time incorrectly isn't spelled incorrectly is when it's spelled incorrectly.
Shut the hell up.
Yeah,
shut the fuck up.
You know, the number of people older than you never increases. It only gets smaller and smaller.
Damn.
What?
It just got smaller.
Yo, pizza's here.
Shit, I got the munchies. I'm about to fuck this shit up. Wait, I ordered a mushroom pizza. Why'd they give us cheese?
Hey, any pizza can be a mushroom pizza if you're patient enough.
Damn, I guess you're right.
At last.
Damn, you know what I just realized?
What?
A pregnant woman swimming is pretty much a submarine.
Are you just always this high, bruh?
Yo, did you boys know your last name comes from what your ancestor used to do back in the day?
Oh shit, mine's Baker.
Yo, mine's Carpenter.
Oh, mine's Smith for blacksmith.
Well, what's yours, Johnny?
It's Donald.
Well, wait a minute. Your last name isn't Donald. It's
hey,
Dickinson.
Yo,
guys, chill. Hey, I can explain. Your alarm is really your theme song because it plays at the start of every episode.
Why the fuck are you in my house?
Yo, is Chain still mad over that chair?
Yeah, well, what does this dude have against chairs?
Why is it a chair?
Yo, why is there sidewalks in the movie Cars if there's no humans?
This dude won't shut up. Like, just watch the fucking movie, bruh.
Damn, think about this. When a child is an asshole, the child gets a whooping. But when the parents are an asshole, the child gets another whooping.
Shit, tell me about it, bruh.
Fuck.
Bro, you've checked the fridge 15 times already. No good food's finna magically appear.
Damn. Now that I think about it, we don't keep checking the fridge for new food, but rather we keep checking to see if our standards have dropped low enough to eat the shit that's already in the fridge.
So we got Mercury, Venus, and then here's Earth.
Yeah, Chains. What do you want?
If Earth is the third planet from the sun, does that make every country a third world country?
You're high again. Just get the fuck out of my class.
And look at these sheep.
Sheep.
You know how one of your teeth is called a tooth?
Yeah.
And one geese is called a goose.
Okay.
Then why isn't one sheep called a shoop?
All right, James, a shoop. I can't keep doing Shoopity this. We have to break
sheep
up.
Shoop. You know what I've been thinking?
Yeah, what's up?
Teenagers be whipping that shit like they're always running out of time. But old motherfuckers be driving like they got all the time in the world. Like, look at this geezer. Poor guy's practically decaying behind the wheel. But he's taking his time like he's got any time to spare. If I stab this cereal box, does that make me a cereal killer? That one was straight ass. You gotta work on that
shit.
I'm
gonna work on that one.
Yo. If you weigh 99 pounds and you eat a 1 pound burrito, does that make you 1% burrito?
Yo, that's crazy, because I literally just did that last night.
You guys wouldn't believe this, but your blood work came back and it says you're 1% burrito.
Yo,
picture this. Imagine if Ed Sheeran was working at a bread place, right? Would that make him the gingerbread man?
Your high is shit.
Alright, bro, I'm a dip.
Nah, don't leave me alone in this forest, bro.
Hey, when you really think about it, you're not scared to be alone in this forest. You're scared you're not alone in the forest. You feel me?
Yo, that's actually so true.
What? Whoa. Bro, you know what? Low key, if you're dead broke, robbing a bank isn't even a bad idea. Bro, there's no way some hobo's about to pull off a bank heist.
Nah, but just think about it. Whether you successfully rob the bank or not, either way, you get over 10 years of bills you don't gotta worry about.
Alright, fuck it. You got the strap?
Yup.
Yo, throw on your seatbelt really quick.
Nah.
What? Why not?
Well, you see, it increases my risk of dying from cancer.
What are you talking about, bro? That shit makes no sense.
Just let that sink in.
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yo, what's up?
But still, that shit makes no sense.
No, but actually think about it.
Oh.
Hey, bro, you wanna hit?
Nah, I don't smoke. I'm scared that I'll get all paranoid and shit.
Hey, man, if you're paranoid that you're gonna get paranoid, you're having the side effect without even smoking.
It's your fault.
Bad haircuts. There is nothing worse than when your barber just randomly decides to destroy your self-confidence with some goofy ass haircut. And as someone who has never found a barber who consistently does me nicely, I have gotten my shit all the way fucked up on many occasions. I'm talking not going to school, locking myself in my room so nobody can see me with this disgraceful cut type of fucked up. And these barbers are out here having the audacity to ask, "Do you like it?" Man, do I like it? Yeah, bro. I love it, bro. Thank you so much. Man, I'd just be wiping the tears away and then tipping them nicely. Knowing damn well I should be out here throwing hands, because this dude is the reason I can't get any bitches. So I've tried lots of different barbers in my time, starting with the ones my mom used to take me to. I mean, this early, I never really even had a say on what I wanted my hair to look like. So, what are you looking for today? You know, just a little bit off the top, please. Shave it. Wait, what? Shave it. Your new haircut looks so good, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey man, you know your haircut is ass when your mom says she likes it. As a kid, I always dreaded getting haircuts because I knew my barber was already like 0 for 10. And I would show up to school every time knowing it was inevitable that I was about to get my shit flamed. And truthfully, there is no worse roasting than when you get a bad haircut. Like, people you barely even know will be out here cooking you.
Who the fuck is this?
All of a sudden, people got more jokes than Chris Rock. And it's even worse when you decide, I should get a fresh cut because school's starting back up and I'm trying to look fresh. Bro, I can't go to school like this. Yo, Chains, what's up? Yo, what's good? Bro, are you alright? Why do you got this hoodie on? Yeah, I'm chilling. I'm just kind of cold, you know? Bro, it's 32 degrees. And man, there was this one time that I still think about every time I fall asleep. Me and my friend go to this barbershop that I'd been to once before, and last time they did me quite nicely. So we head in, I sit down in the chair. Hey, how you doing? I'm good, how are you? Yeah, I'm good. Have you been here before?
Yeah, I have actually.
Oh, I remember you. Same cut as last time?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's new, man?
Nothing much really. What about you?
You know, I've just been working.
Oh yeah, respect.
So, how's your dad doing?
This is when I knew something was terribly wrong.
Bro, I don't got a dad.
Fuck!
You know, he's good.
This motherfucker was giving me some random kid's haircut. This dude must have thought I was Manny or some shit. Cause he gave me that middle part cut. And he pushed my hairline back a little bit.
And everyone in my city knew this barber. So everyone at my school followed his Instagram too.
Can I get a picture from my Instagram?
Nah, bro. I don't really like being posted.
Don't worry. It's quick.
Nah, I don't really want to. This dude caught me lacking so bad. And broadcasted it to everyone in my city.
Fuck, bro. I should throw hands with him right now. I gotta get it back in blood.
So, do you like the cut?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. And when I checked my Instagram, I was out here getting flamed so hard. Borderline cyberbullying. And I'm not joking when I say this. This motherfucker fucked me up so bad. I learned how to cut my own hair and never went back to a barber ever again.
So a few years ago, I worked at a fast food restaurant. We'll just call it Jim Jordan's, you know what I'm saying? Jim Jordan's was my first job ever. So coming in on my first day, I was kind of excited, you know, because it was just overall a new experience, so I was looking forward to it. So I walked through the doors and, you know, it's looking like a nice establishment so far. But as soon as you step past the staff gate, you realize it's instantly a hellhole. Like, this is exactly what it was like.
Hi there, can I take your order?
Yo, who's
medium double double.
Hi, what's your order?
Yo, hello. It's my first day.
There, can I take your order?
And bro, once they give you the Jim Jordan's drip, you instantly lose value as a human, bro. For example, if you're going for a casual stroll down the street, an average interaction would look something like this. Hey, how are you? Good, how are you? Good. You know, just average small talk things. But once you throw on that Jim Jordan's drip, hey, what can I get for medium black coffee? Make my coffee faster, bitch. And while I was working here, it was just the beginning of the pandemic. Meaning, on top of the gym drip, you also had to wear a mask. So pretty much people could just see your eyes. And trying to communicate during the pandemic was horrible. Because not only did both parties have to wear a mask, there was this big plastic wall between us. And they had to stand 6 feet away. Hi, what can I get for you?
What?
I said, hi, what
can- Huh?
Ma'am, what can I get for you?
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Oh my god, bro.
And man, I already made a video on NPCs, but working in any sort of drive-thru, you'll figure out that drive-thrus are NPCs' prime real estate. It's just like back-to-back-to-back NPCs. And when you don't have your average NPC, you'll have a below-average IQ NPC. Like, there was this one lady that would come through every day, and all my coworkers knew her as the coupon lady. Because every day she would try and use coupons, but somehow never understand how they work. Alright, your total is $15.67.
Okay, I'm gonna use a coupon.
Alright.
What are you waiting for?
The coupon?
Oh, it's just at my house.
And don't get me started on my manager Magnus, bro. Next time I see Magnus, it's on site.
Wait a minute, Chance, is that you?
The longer I worked there, Magnus just started getting a little bit too comfortable on booking my shifts. After about 10 months of working there, she just decided to give me 5 a.m. shifts every time. And that wasn't even in my availability. So, you know, I would send a polite and professional email, and she would just hit me with some shit like, okay. Then just continue to book me at 5 a.m., bro. So I ended up working there for about a year and a half. And like most people at minimum wage jobs, when you're there for long enough, you just start to care a lot less about getting fired. I mean, I was snatching donuts, whipping myself up some food whenever no one was looking, and hooking up all my homies with free everything. And eventually I just got tired of waking up at 4:30 every shift, so I put in my 2 weeks. And during these last 2 weeks, I did not give a fudge cake, bro. I was out here setting up coffee cups and playing basketball with the gym bits. And if someone was kinda polite to me, I would just hook them up with a free donut. And I remember on my last day, I was working a night shift, and it was just about 15 minutes before I got off forever. And some dudes rolled up in the drive-thru baked as hell. Hey dude, can you check how much is on this gift card really quick? Yeah, you got 21 cents on it. What can we get for 21 cents? One sec. I just went to the back and cleared the shelves of every single donut in sight. And I just sauced them all for free. Yo, thank you so much, dude. You're the GOAT.
Can't believe this cost 21 cents.
So yeah, that was my experience working fast food. And it's definitely not fun, but I feel like it's a valuable experience. Because now that I know I hate working there so much, I'm gonna work hard enough so you will never catch me working in fast food ever again, bro.
Billy is one of my closest homies, and we've been friends ever since we were little kids, and for as long as I can remember, Billy's been a dumbass, bro. I'm talking he's slightly restarded, you know what I mean? And everyone knows Billy for just two things. Always making the absolute worst decision possible, and always having the best stories, bro. Like, statistically, this motherfucker should have died 61 different times already, bro.
Nah, I got plot armor, bro.
Bro, no you don't.
I do.
Man, shut the fuck up.
What the fuck?
Now, this story takes place on February 14th, 2025, Valentine's Day. And I'm gonna be so honest, this story is one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in my life, bro. So, wait, can you swear to them that is real?
It is.
Say you swear.
I swear, bro.
On everything you love, the Valentine story happened, bro.
On everything I love, the Valentine story really happened.
It was a fine Valentine's Day night. Bob, Billy, and I were all some single dudes, except Billy had a little situation, you know? He was talking to a girl named Elise, and they would hang out from time to time, but it was a new thing, so they weren't really dating, and they were definitely not Valentine. Now, I don't know much about Elise, but just 2 weeks prior, Billy was telling me about how he met some cute girl. They would text, they would hang out, but for whatever reason, their conversations would always be some like,
hey, how you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I am a little bit stressed because I'm moving and everything.
Oh yeah, moving sucks. How about you come over, I relieve all your stress type shit.
Billy, I really like you.
I like you too, Elise.
But I think you might be a whore.
Wait, what?
Like, you're most likely a bop.
Okay, wait, I'm
you're
like,
definitely a fuckboy.
Okay, chill now. I've never fucked a boy in my life.
So keeping that in mind, we were all single, and this Valentine's happened to land on a Friday, and because of this,
we going to the club.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the plan was simple. We go to the drink store to get something to pregame, go back to my house, and then hit the club, fall in love, and live happily ever after. Now the problem was, Billy was stuck working a 9.5 hour shift until 10 p.m. Now he was the pizza delivery guy for a chain we'll call
Big Caesar.
So he's doing his thing, delivering those Valentine's pizzas. Well, me and Bob decide that we would go get the drinks now and meet Billy back at the crib once he's off work. So we hop in the car, we get to the drink store, and at this point, it's 9:30 p.m. And so Bob calls Billy to ask what he wants. No answer. I call him. No answer. We both text him. Nothing. Now, this was strange, because Billy usually responds while he's working, but we shrug it off. We go inside the store and get Billy his go-to bottle.
Tennessee.
So we go back to my house and get to my room at about 10 p.m. and still no word from Billy. So we're waiting for a good 20 minutes and then I get a text message from Billy. The craziest shit ever just happened. So I'm like, what happened? Bro, it's so crazy, I need to tell you in person. So Billy whips it over to my house, kicks down the door, and instantly starts breaking down the craziest plot I've ever heard, bruh.
Yo, listen, this story takes place 1 hour ago.
It was 9:30 p.m. and Billy was finishing up a long 9.5 hour shift with his very last delivery of the night, but the problem was his phone was on 1% and he didn't even have a charger. So Billy locks in and memorizes all the directions to get there right before his phone dies. So from one side of the city, Billy goes 100% straight off the dome to the other side of the city for his last delivery on this fine Valentine's Day night. Billy hops out the car, walks up to the house, knocks, and they open the door.
Hey man, happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, but I didn't order a pizza.
Oh shit, are you sure?
Gerald, did we order a pizza?
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, we didn't order a pizza.
I don't know. It says a meat lover's pizza for 3516.
Oh, honey, no. This is 3416. 3516 is all the way around the back of the cul-de-sac.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Have a good night.
So Billy's walking for a good 8 minutes to get to the back of the cul-de-sac where at last he finds 3516. He walks up to the door, knocks, and a fine looking woman in her 40s opens the door holding a vape, and Billy sees a little potential here.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, man.
Aw, thank you.
Of course, beautiful. How's your Valentine's Day going?
You know, it's okay.
Why is this okay? You ain't got no special plans?
Well, honestly,
My husband's out drinking at the bar, so...
Bro, this
was the perfect situation for Billy, bro. There's so many things he could say to make a move right here, and out of the infinite combinations of words he could put together, he says...
Well, a man's got a drink, you know?
Yeah, okay, yeah, well, anyways, here you go. Keep the change. Have a good one.
Billy fucking sold, bruh.
He missed a wide open layup, and as he turns around to head back to his car in shame, Billy gets an idea. A genius idea, if I do say so myself. So Billy turns back around, walks back up to the door, and knocks again.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, so, my car, like the pizza car, is on the other side of the cul-de-sac, so if there's any way I could cut through, it would save me like 10 minutes.
Yeah, of course, come in. And this motherfucker just got his own rebound off the backboard, bro, but he only has 60 seconds on the shot clock to make a move, and so he starts breaking down that professional barrier.
So, what's your name?
My name's Angelina. What's your name?
My name's Billy.
Wow, you have a very beautiful name.
And you have a very beautiful smile.
Thank you. Holy fucking shit, he was cooking, but they had made it to the basement, meaning he only has 30 seconds left before he's back to the cold, lonely outside world. So Billy cooks up yet another genius play.
Angelina, I really hate to ask, but is there any way I could charge my phone real quick? Like, I just need to get it to like 5%.
Of course, honey, sit down. It's no worries at all. This motherfucker, Billy. Did it again, bro. Now, I don't know if it's because she just wanted some human connection on his Valentine's night, or she was genuinely just being nice, but this motherfucker's now in a position where he's posted up on this woman's couch in her basement at 10 p.m. on a Valentine's night.
Yo, what flavor is that?
Oh, it's mango ice. It's my favorite.
Damn. You think I could take a hit?
Only if I could hit chores.
Oh, shit. I bet.
So as these two fiends are bonding over a little nicotine addiction, Billy's like...
So you said your husband went up to the bar?
Yeah, he did. To be honest, it kind of hurts, because, like, it just sucks to be alone on Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I feel you. I don't go to Valentine either. Type shit.
Now, at this very moment, Billy's about to shoot a shot farther than a three-pointer. Farther than a half-court, full-court football field. This was a blindfolded shot from Mars by a six-year-old kid with Down syndrome, bruh.
I mean, shit. We could be Valentine's tonight.
Oh, that's so sweet, but my daughter's upstairs.
Ah, shit, yeah. I get it, but, like, this couch low-key spacious, though.
I mean, it's not that spacious. Billy, you're funny. Now, at this moment, Billy's 0 for 3 with these shots. I mean, the defense line was tough. She's got a whole husband and a daughter who's just posted upstairs, probably waiting for that fucking pizza. But to be fair, Billy was still on the court, but his phone was already at a good 3% charge, so he needs a game-winning shot right now, and so he reaches deep into his bag. I'm talking middle school years. He pulls out a shot I never thought I would see in the big 2025.
This flavor's fire. Yo, let me show you a new trick.
Yeah? What is it?
Alright, so it's called a transfer. Basically, me and you just transfer the smoke.
Okay, teach me.
You gotta come closer though, alright?
This motherfucker Billy swished a shot, bro, against all odds. Just 15 minutes ago, he was some bum delivering her Big Caesar's pizza. All of a sudden, now she's hot and ready, bruh. And so Billy's making out with some random dude's wife for a good 5 minutes. Then she's like... Is your phone charged?
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, let me charge everything.
Of course, honey, it's my pleasure.
All right, I'm gonna text you.
Okay, drive safe. And Billy leaves this married mother's house after making out with her as the fucking pizza delivery guy. Bro, what the fuck? Billy, are you dead ass?
I swear to God.
Bro, that story is fucking insane.
I mean, shit. I'm not done, bro.
Cause if there's one thing that Big Caesar's taught Billy, it was how to deliver, bro. So he takes the receipt, boom, takes her number down and texts her. So he drives back to Big Caesar's, goes in, clocks out, hops in a car, drives home, goes inside, showers up, gets out the shower to check his phone. No response.
Damn.
So Billy tries calling her straight to voicemail. He changes the no caller ID and calls again, and it rings, meaning...
She blocked his ass, bro, and I have no clue why she would do such a thing. I mean, like, yeah, she has a husband and like a kid and probably another boyfriend on the side, but damn, say something. And that's the moment when he gets a Snapchat notification. Elise has added you as a friend. Now, Elise is the girl he's been talking to on Snapchat, so why would she even have him unadded in the first place? So Billy's like,
you unadded me?
And she just hits him back with a WID.
Shit, I just got off work. What you doing?
Oh, I'm just chilling at home. And then there's a brief pause. Do you know whose house you were just in?
Do I know whose house I was just in? I've been to her house before. She doesn't even live close to...
Wait. And Billy starts piecing everything together. How Elise was moving houses. All the boxes laid out in that woman's house. How Elise's family loved eating Big Caesars. And the woman's daughter... being upstairs the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Billy hooked up with his girl's mom. Now, we have no clue what her mom told her, because it makes the most sense that she said something along the lines of,
hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Elise, I think he was flirting with me. Because let's be honest, what is the other option, bruh?
Hey, why did the pizza dude take so long?
Yeah, no, I mean, I just cheated on your father with the Big Caesar's pizza delivery guy who actually just happens to be your age. So Billy's texting Elise, trying to play it cool, like,
oh, I had no clue that was your house. What are the chances?
And she just says,
yeah. I get my good looks from my mom.
And then she blocked him again, bro. Cause after telling her 100 times that he's not a hoe, he's not a bop, he's not a fuckboy.
I accidentally hooked up with her mom, bro.
Billy. You know I gotta make a video about this, right?
Yeah, I know.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Whoa. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man. I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck. Trick-or-treat. Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block. Trick or treat. Oh, didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us. Cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy.
But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay. Wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like... Trick or treat. Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain, because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah! 360 over the booga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in, get in! Lock it!
And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience... I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend, Bob. So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke?
Yeah, bet.
And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly. But your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hoe like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa. When honestly, I should have been patient and just taking my time, because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse. And the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment? And a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now. Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to Earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn. I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. Douses me in cologne to cover up the smell. And apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib, and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell, and my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked, dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom, this mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck said succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. The mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say? Twister. Oh, a twister? Yep, twister. What, wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy? Yep, just a good old game of Twister with the boys. Damn, y'all are gay as hell. Yep. not to being gay as hell. I just meant yup in general. Like, you know, like, yup. Chains, are you feeling okay? Oh fuck. She knows. What do I do? A little word of advice. Whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired. Like, it works for everything. Are you high? No, I'm just tired. Damn, bro. Are you depressed? No. I'm just tired. Help! Help! I'm drowning! No, I'm just tired. So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old, I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. But thank you very much for dinner. And call me Michael Jackson, cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit. Bum, 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 bum.
bum.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time. Which perfectly describes your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get-together for one of our friend's birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece? Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real. No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high. Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup.